WJFK AM Morningside.
And WJFK HD3 Manassas. Always live on the free Odyssey app. DC's home for wagertainment.
Now, back to You Better You Bet with Nick Costos. Presented by BetMGM on Westwood One Sports.
Bring it up, Laura. Final hour. Power hour. You better you bet on Westwood One Sports. Nick Costos, our unbelievable crew, Maggie Gray, and you. The power hour and every hour here on You Better You Bet brought to you by the great people, and they are great. Shout out to our friend Mike Manzo and others, the great people at BetMGM. Make it legendary by downloading the BetMGM app and visiting BetMGM.com. Our pal Jason Stark, longtime Major League Baseball writer and authority, now doing great work for our friends at The Athletic. Jason Stark will join us about 20 minutes from now, where among other topics, we will talk about the potential return this season of Aaron Judge. Jason Stark coming up about 20 minutes from now. We will finalize all our bets for tonight, which will include the Hall of Fame game. Keep your comments to yourselves. I think I laid out a pretty good rationale for my bet on the Carolina Panthers. And last hour, we will get more into the Panthers and the Arizona Cardinals and the Hall of Fame game to end the show, plus tonight's slate in Major League Baseball. But joining us right now, I don't know if... I think I may have had her on this show once, but I've been on her shows a million times. So we've done many spots together. I am thrilled to welcome to the show one of my absolute favorite sports talkers out there. Her new show, A Must-Win Game, is must-listen and must-watch. You can find it in podcast form. You can find it on YouTube. She does great work here locally in the New York tri-state area on SNY. You can actually watch her there tonight on SNY with fellow friends of the show, Sal Licata, John Jastrzemski, and others. And follow her on Twitter, at Maggie Gray. Long-suffering Buffalo Bills fan and one of my favorites, Maggie Gray, here on You Better You Bet. Maggie, welcome to the show. How's it going?
Nick, you know I love you, and I knew there was going to be some kind of Bills dig in there because nobody has predicted the fate of the Bills better than you. And I used to fight you on it. And like, I should know better because I am a long suffering fan and I should know it's always going to end the way that you said it was going to end. Buffalo heartbreak, usually something that's so bad it has a nickname. And finally, Sean McDermott has been shown the door. So we'll see what happens.
So let's start with the Buffalo Bills, right? So Maggie is a huge Buffalo Bills fan, and I would say generally, right, correct, to say you trend towards optimism or pessimism as it concerns your favorite team.
Oh my gosh, pessimism.
right.
Why,
so
optimism, what do I have, an IQ of 5? Like, I've watched this, Nick. This is actually, like, it's been my life. My life has been this team losing in the biggest ways possible.
Now that Sean McDermott's gone, and you know this from conversations you and I have had in the past, that I was kind of big on the have to fire McDermott, not that he's not a really good coach, but how many times can you keep doing this? And I'm going to call it the English patient era, the Sean McDermott era, because what it turned into at the end was the highlight package that would play when the Bills got eliminated of all the playoff losses was like longer than the English patient. So now that McDermott's gone, and Joe Brady takes over as the head coach, would you say that you are optimistic or pessimistic heading into the season where the Bills are the favorite to win the division and the co-favorite to win the AFC along with the Baltimore Ravens?
Okay, well, I'm gonna stay with this. Like, until they prove me otherwise, I'm going to be pessimistic about it because I don't know if Joe Brady and Josh Allen together, like, can they be trusted? Like, how is every pass just going to be 40 yards down the field, even a blinding snowstorm? I think it's kind of like these are two wild and crazy guys. Like, who knows if you don't have Sean McDermott at some point was like, I probably a very wet blanket on at times, but the offense, like, I think these two guys have been waiting for to just unleash, you know, something we haven't seen yet. So you know, they got to, you know, they got to realize that they're only one part of the team. And I think Jim Leonard is really one of the biggest wild cards here. He's the new defensive coordinator. McDermott was the defensive coordinator and the head coach, and they're changing everything up. They're going to a 3-4. They realize they have to stop the run. Can they actually do that as the weather gets colder and they get gashed by the run game just year after year? So I'm actually more concerned about the defense because they have been the side of the football that has let the team down.
Who do you think is going to win the division this year in the AFC East, and why?
You know, you look at the Bills' schedule. I can pull it up if you want. This is a hard schedule. Like, I know they don't go to Europe this year or whatever, like the travel, but they play everybody. Like, you want to come out of the gates with Houston? Who's coming home in a body bag out of that game? You know, and the Bills always have trouble with Houston. And that's just to get started. You got the Rams. Obviously, you get Baltimore. And I think they're going to win like 10, 11 games. So I think I would probably give it to, I'd probably give it to the Patriots maybe winning the division. But to be honest, Nick, like, I don't know if I care because I'd love to say home field advantage matters because obviously, like, look what happened last year. They go and lose in Denver and they almost lost in Jacksonville, but they've lost at home. So, yeah, they lost to the Bengals. Like, they've lost to the Chiefs at home in the playoffs. So I don't know if it matters.
And to your point, this opening, it is a gauntlet opening the season for Buffalo. I'm going to bet the Texans to beat them in week one. I'm really high on the Texans this year. Then host, yeah. And that's the opening of the new stadium is that Thursday night game against Detroit in week two. Then host the Chargers, then host the Patriots, then go on the road to the Los Angeles Rams. So that is a brutal schedule for Buffalo to start the year. And I think, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, like, for, you know, they won the division for five straight years. Then all of a sudden, you know, here comes New England. They have this amazing season, whatever. They had an easy schedule, and I'm going to sound like a hater. They ride it all the way to the Super Bowl.
But like, that is what happens. That's not
that
hating.
Is what
you're
happened.
Stating facts.
A blinding snowstorm in the AFC Championship game a squall that nobody saw coming.
Like, was it a squall? Was it a squall? I'm not sure it was a squall if we're going to do the weather definition. A wintry mix, perhaps?
it was awful. But here's the thing. I thought that by not winning the division, it's like, all right, maybe you get a little bit of an easier schedule. Like, this is how teams generally kind of rebound. Not that the Bills need to rebound. They won 12 games last year, but I thought maybe they'd get a break or two, and they do not.
I think the AFC, Maggie, is so fascinating, right? Because you can make the case, and we can rattle off the teams, right? That can actually, so like the Steelers can make the playoffs. I don't think the Steelers can win the AFC. Buffalo, New England, Cincinnati, Baltimore, Houston, Jacksonville, the three Giants in the AFC West, the Chargers, the Chiefs, and the Broncos. So maybe you give New England a slight edge over Buffalo in the division, but like you said, why can't Buffalo as a wild card team potentially go to the Super Bowl? If I made you pick right now, who wins the AFC and why this season?
Okay, so I'm going to preface this by saying I've been, like, you know, hearing a lot of shows, getting ready for the season, talking to a lot of my friends, group text, the whole deal. When people talk about what is the biggest storyline heading into the season, I do not think there is there's one story and there's not even a close second. It's whether the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes are healthy. Nick, that's it. That's it. Like, anything else you want to bring up, you know, rookie head coaches in Baltimore and Buffalo. You want to talk about Houston Texans defense? Can C.J. Stroud be better at quarterback? You want to talk about Justin Herbert getting engaged to a pop star? None of that stuff matters at all. It's all Mahomes. If that knee is good, the Dynasty 2.0 starts again. And I don't know why more people aren't having this healthy fear of this, like, reset here with Mahomes. Like, this is the only story that matters to me in the NFL. Aaron Donald, sure, whatever. Mahomes, guys, he's a killer. Like, why have we forgotten about this already? I think people are losing their mind if they don't think that Mahomes could be on a crazy revenge tour.
I agree completely, and I still think he's the best. It's not that Josh Allen's going to go to the Hall of Fame. I think Mahomes is a little better. I do need to, something you said just now. So I know who Madison Beer is, right, who Justin Herbert just got engaged to because she's engaged to Justin Herbert. Is she a pop star? I'm so... Does she have any songs that like anyone knows? I only know who she is because just I'm not saying she's not famous or doesn't make good music. Like, is it bad that I don't know who she is other than Justin Herbert's fiance?
No, I was with you, and I actually had to rely on the younger gentlemen who were on my show before EJ Stewart, Manny Rodriguez, shout out. They knew who she was, and then I was like, all right, I went and checked her out.
Is she on the Tate McRae level, like just or like Sabrina Carpenter? I know who they are. She's like, okay. she's lesser than them on like the music scale. I don't know.
Okay, so I hope this doesn't get like a little too racy for your audience here. So just
I love racy stuff. I wish I could do more of it, but I can't wait to hear this.
Well, people don't think this is going to come out of like this particular package of person who's talking, but I'm just going to say it. It's kind of like how everyone who does porn is a porn star. You know, they can't all be stars, Nick. Like, no, I don't know that industry. They're not all stars. So is every pop star a star? I don't know. It's just what we say.
So is Madison, she's not actually a star. She's just like,
I just think that's, she's not pop ugly. Music. You're pop star.
She's not ugly.
No, so she's not ugly.
Not at all.
You know
not
what? But Justin Herbert's also not ugly. But here's the thing. Sometimes he plays real ugly. Bring it back to sports in the playoffs. And until he shows something different in these playoff games, like I'm not a believer.
I'm going to take it away from sports for a second, and I'm going to say this, and maybe I'm a hater because he's a foot taller than me. Is Justin Herbert, like, do women find Justin Herbert to be very attractive? Like, I'll be honest. When a guy's handsome, I have no problem saying a guy's handsome. Like, you put the two of them together, Madison Beer is the clear winner there in terms of looks, no?
Well, I mean, I'm obviously going to look at it from the other side here. And, you know, to maintain my professionalism, I don't know how deep I want to get here. But yes, Justin Herbert, besides, well, he's a little young for me because, like, everyone's younger than me now. But, like, except for Aaron Rodgers. But, like, he has all the conventional things that women find attractive. Let's just put it that way.
Fair enough. I mean, look, he's tall. You can't lift weights to get tall. Oh. God bless him.
Can I tell you something?
Yes.
One of the most embarrassing moments of my life. So before I got into Sports Talk Radio full time, I worked at Sports Illustrated for 8 years. And like, we were doing some real capital J journalism over at SI. You know, we prided ourselves on it. John Wertheim.
This is before I came in and started doing sports betting content in 2019 and dragged you into the gutter before that happened.
No, elevated everybody, Nick, not the gutter, the penthouse. John Wertheim of 60 Minutes fame, okay, doesn't get any bigger journalism than that show. He calls me and we're at the Super Bowl in Arizona. And he goes, I need some help. You're on Radio Row. You're interviewing all these people. We're working on a story about how handsome quarterbacks are. And like how there's actually a science behind their faces being like symmetrical and how people follow good looking people. Like they had a whole science. It made an SI cover. Like you can look this up. This I should have gotten some credit on this article because of the work I did. So Ryan Tannehill sits down. We do the interview. He's fine. He was a quarterback of the Dolphins at the time. And Ryan Tannehill sits down. Camera's cut. I go, hey, Ryan, you know, we're actually working on this other story at SI. Do you mind if I ask you some questions? He goes, yeah, sure. This is off camera. I go, do you think that it's helped if quarterbacks are good looking? And he looked at me like I had just went over to like feel him up. I was like, no, dude, I'm not like making a pass at you.
Yeah,
we're in a convention center in Arizona. This would be ridiculous. And I would never do something like that. And the look he gave me, I was like, I'm not asking any more questions. Bye. Like, see ya. Bye.
But I think I was at this what Ryan Tannehill was like, he was on behalf of like Old Spice or something, like shampooing people's hair. I think I have a picture of him shampooing my hair at the Super Bowl. In any event, you bet on this Thursday.
Well, that was more intimate. Sorry to interrupt you. That was more intimate than what I asked him. But the way he looked at me, I was just like, you got the wrong impression. I got to move on. We got to go.
If I were him, I would have been like, yeah, absolutely. We're all good looking, including me. But listen, I'm very vain, though, to say that. Also, probably insecure. You better you bet on this Thursday, Nick Costos and you, Westwood One Sports. Our guest is Maggie Gray, a must-win game. You have to check out the show, YouTube, podcast form. Maggie is excellent, and follow Maggie on Twitter at Maggie Gray. Maggie, let's turn our attention to the National Football Conference, and I'm curious your opinion, and I know that you talked about them recently on your show, the Dallas Cowboys ahead of the season, a team that a lot of people, including me, think could make a nice run in the NFC playoffs. What about the Dallas Cowboys entering the season?
Okay, so thanks. Yeah, I talked to Chris Rose of NFL Network and John Boy Media and stuff, and he had just been at Cowboys camp. And I was like, what's up with this optimism? Like, I can't tell if this is just that Dallas Cowboys hype that happens every time this year or if this is actually real. And I've had him and someone else in my life point to their new defensive coordinator. Was it Christian Parker, I think, is the guy who's taking over, who was a longtime Vic Fangio, like, acolyte in Philadelphia. And he's like 34.
Good usage of acolyte there. I go with disciple usually. Acolyte, I think, is almost like a little more sinister. Makes it sound like he's going to be even better than he actually is. I like that.
Well, let's see, right? But he, so, you know, from what I've heard about people who've been boots on the ground, is that he's kind of injected this new sort of fervor into the defense. And let's be honest, like, that was the side of the ball that really let them down. We can go back to the Micah Parsons trade if you want to, but I thought the Quinnen Williams trade was inspired. You know, I'll take any opportunity to dunk on Jerry Jones. I actually really like that trade for them. So to me, have they addressed enough to stop the run, which was, you know, obviously their major Achilles heel last year? We'll see. We're going to find out together. You don't know. I don't know. But they feel invigorated, and they also feel good about having almost all 11 starters returning on offense. And, you know, listen, for Brian Schottenheimer, kind of a proof of concept there, right? Like, it definitely worked. I know my former co-host Bart Scott, who was a New York Jet when Brian Schottenheimer was there, was not such a big fan of his, but I think Shotty has learned a few things.
It's Shotty seems like the rare coach who might be a better head coach than coordinator, right? Without, and he basically cost the Jets that AFC championship game on the road in Pittsburgh in the 2010 season, but that can be a story for another time. We'll do a little baseball before we get you out of here, Maggie. And like I said, you're doing great work at SNY locally here in New York, so you're a perfect person to ask this question. I'll talk to Jason Stark about this in a little bit as well. You know, we played the Aaron Judge audio from yesterday a little earlier in the show. Judge saying he expects to be back. Brian Cashman said following the deadline on Monday, he's optimistic Judge is going to be back. And I understand Yankee fans that are Chicken Little, right? Sky's falling. They're not guaranteeing he's not coming back. I think he's going to. I don't know what percent he's going to be when he comes back, but I think he's going to come back. What is your sense, the people you talk to, your opinion here on what's going to happen with Aaron Judge down the stretch?
I think he's coming back, and I don't know if he's going to be 100%, but I think he's going to play through it. And I think that, listen, I'm curious to see, like, Aaron Judge, if he comes back, Nick, he's a spectacular outfielder. Like, he is a defensive whiz of the outfield, except for the fifth inning of the World Series, which I won't bring up.
which was the entire team, to be fair. But yes, he was bad at that as well.
Yes, no doubt about it. But I don't think he would play in the outfield, right? So I think he would DH. And what that does, and the only reason why I bring that up and seems a little niche and nuanced here for like a national radio show, is because Giancarlo Stanton also has to DH. And Nick, you know this because you follow every pitch of that team. Giancarlo Stanton has actually been the better postseason hitter for the Yankees than Aaron Judge. It's just the truth. So
no
I'm
question.
Just kind of, no question. So I'm just kind of curious, like, how they're going to do this. Stanton, if he's back, he's been too good to just be a pinch hitter. Like, he has to be in the lineup. Judge has to be in the lineup. But both of those guys can't play the outfield because they're fragile right now. So I think Judge is going to come back, and I think he's probably going to be playing through significant pain. But he's a gamer. He'll have the whole offseason to, you know, to get better, heal up. But I think he's coming back.
Final question. I saw you tweet this recently. Again, at Maggie Gray on X, whatever the hell it's called. You shared recently on your show a must-win game, your most unpopular food opinion. What is it? I would like to judge you potentially for this.
Okay, so I'm just going to preface this, but I've lost friends over this. People hate this, and I stand by it. I think that bacon and donuts smell better than they taste. So I can flesh it out a little for you.
Okay, now may I ask a follow-up before you continue?
Of course.
Is the insinuate that, like, you don't like bacon and donuts as much as other people? Because if you're going to, as I think bacon tastes great, you can easily make the case that it smells better than it tastes. It doesn't mean it tastes great, but the bacon smell is next level. So are you saying, like, listen, you don't like bacon, or just that the smell is better than the taste?
No, I love it, but it's a top 1-2 smell. like bacon frying in the pan fills up the whole house or the diner or wherever you are.
That's fair.
So incredible. But sometimes you get it and it's like fatty or it's not crispy or it's something that's like, it's a disappointment.
So I agree with this.
The smell always delivers, but sometimes the bacon doesn't deliver. So that's number one. Two, the donuts. This was a very specific take because when I lived in New York City, I lived in an apartment that was next to a place called the Donut Plant. And they literally made the donuts.
The Donut Plant is great. I've been to the Donut Plant.
Okay. The smells they were pumping out of the Donut Plant would make you change your religion. Like your religion would now be donuts if you smelled that smell once. But then every so often I'd smell the smell and then I'd like break and I'd walk in there and I'd order a donut and I'd take a bite and it just wasn't as good as the smell.
I don't think these are unfair opinions. Can I give you a smell opinion?
McLovin would crush me for this. McLovin crushes me for this. He hates this opinion of mine.
Well, I don't know, but what the hell does Perloff know about anything? Can I give you an unpopular smell opinion very quickly? You said bacon is like a top one or two, tough to disagree. I think the smell of gasoline, like at the gas station, is a top one or two smell. Give me 15 seconds on this. True or false?
Yeah, you're one of those guys. That's a very specific palate. I know people who also tend to like the smell like burning leaves.
What does it tell you about me that I think gasoline smells good?
That you're Mr. Diesel, man. Like,
nothing could be further from the truth. Nothing.
This is Nick Costos who comes off like polished. You're back alley, man. You're garage. You're a man.
I assure you, man, we could maybe agree with. I am a dad, so like I do think that can be true, but the rest of it, absolutely not. Maggie, you're the best.
No.
Want to do this more often?
For you.
There are scented candles.
Yeah,
no, there are scented. I hate them. I hate them. I can't breathe with these things. I can't. And my wife loves them. And I lose. Some battles aren't worth fighting. So I suffer in silence, as many men do, I'm sure. Maggie, you're the best. Must win game, YouTube, podcast form, on social media, Maggie Gray. Coming up tonight on SNY, we'll do this again. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Nick. You're the best.
Maggie Gray here with us on You Better You Bet. We'll take a break on the other side. Baseball with Jason Stark on a Thursday.
NFL football is being played this week. The Cardinals and Panthers take the field in the Hall of Fame game tonight. Listen to all of the action here on your radio home of the NFL, Westwood One Sports.
The success you've had in life matters. The late nights, the extra shifts, the moments you've stood up and said, I've got this. At University of Maryland Global Campus, we value your achievements because we're a school for real life. With UMGC, you can earn up to 90 credits toward a bachelor's for prior learning and relevant life and work experience, or transfer up to 12 credits toward a master's. We offer scholarships, affordable tuition, and online and hybrid classes, all with the support you need from your first day to graduation day and beyond. As an accredited state university, we've been transforming lives for over 75 years. Choose from more than 100 undergraduate and graduate degrees and certificates, and get ready to succeed again. At UMGC, success is yours for the taking and the making, and nothing should keep you from it, especially not an application fee. Apply now and we'll waive your application fee. Classes start August 12th. Learn more at umgc.edu. That's umgc.edu. Certified to operate in Virginia by Chev.
Skechers elite athlete OG Anunoby has been making history on the basketball court.
Anunoby tips it in. Unbelievable. What a shot.
He's been balling out in Skechers high-performance basketball sneakers, and the world has noticed. But how does OG train off the court to keep in peak physical condition? Hands-free Skechers Slip-ins Aeroburst. They help prepare OG for the physical demands of playing at a championship level. Get your pair of Aeroburst for only $165 at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever high-performance running shoes are sold.
Drip Drop is doctor-developed, proven fast hydration that helps your body and mind work better. Trusted by firefighters, medical professionals, and over 90% of top college and pro sports teams, Drip Drop is engineered to hydrate faster and more effectively than water alone, with three times the electrolytes of leading sports drinks. Stock up now at DripDrop.com and use promo code RADIO20 for 20% off your first order. That's DripDrop.com, promo code RADIO20 for 20% off your first order. Head to DripDrop.com now and use promo code RADIO20.